Chapter 26.
The tips of four scarlet lightsabers were chasing one another around the perimeter of the hatch, so bright that Ben could look at them only through the blast tinting of his helmet's faceplate. The blades were cutting through the thick alien metal as though it were plasteel, and Ben could feel dark presences, a lot of dark presences, standing in the corridor outside. His father was down in the front of the control room, trying to cut a meter-wide escape hole into the viewport. The metal was only a fraction the thickness of the hatch, but his lightsaber was cutting much more slowly than the blades of the mysterious intruders. It seemed strange that thin, transparent material should be so much tougher than a heavy metal hatch, but that was certainly the way it looked.
"Dad, you're cutting really slow,"
Ben said, speaking into his helmet microphone. After Rondi's death, the first thing both Skywalkers had done was put on their vac suits, with the idea of fleeing back to the shadow as swiftly as possible.
"Could your power cell be low?"
Luke's reply came over the helmet receiver, calm and patient.
"Son, I'm a Jedi Master. Do you really think I forget to check my own lightsaber's power cell levels?"
"Just asking. Strange things happen around here."
Ben checked the hatch again and saw that the four scarlet blades were almost to the corners.
"Such as, they're cutting through the hatch about twice as fast as you're cutting through the viewport."
"That is interesting."
Luke sounded less nervous about this news than intrigued by it.
"And you're sure you have no idea who they are?"
"Dad, I told you, no. But they had to hear Rondi pounding on that hatch."
Ben wasn't worried about electronic eavesdropping. Even if the intruders had a receiver set to the correct channel, the Skywalker's communications were encrypted using the latest Jedi technology.
"And they still pushed a lightsaber through at head height. Does that sound like Mindwalker style to you?"
"Not really."
Luke deactivated his lightsaber and stepped away from the circle he had been cutting, leaving about 10 centimeters at the top still attached.
"But they didn't manifest out of the void. They're a part of this somehow."
"Yeah, but we really don't have time to stop to talk."
Ben let the sentence trail off as his father raised a hand and used the force to push the smoking circle of semi-attached viewport outward, opening a hole large enough to serve as an escape route. Instead of leading the way through it, Luke started toward the back of the room, angling toward the corner opposite Ben's.
"We need to take one alive," Luke said.
"Alive?"
Ben echoed.
"Check your vitals readout. You're barely strong enough to make a run for the shadow, much less take prisoners."
"True, and feeling better every second."
Luke pointed at the hatch.
"Ben, we need to find out who those people are, and who sent them. That's the key to figuring this place out."
Ben knew there was no point in arguing. His father's voice had assumed that "I'm the master" tone. Besides, the logic was sound, at least until it came to the part about them making it back to the shadow alive.
"Can we at least be careful about it? Right now, all we know about them is that they don't mind killing people, and they have a thing for red lightsabers. Whoever they are, they seem to have all the advantages."
"Not all of them,"
Luke said, slipping behind an equipment cabinet on the opposite side of the room. He was on the upper tier, about 5 meters past the hatch.
"Are you ready with that gas cylinder?"
Ben checked the hand torch he had used to weld himself and Rondi into the chamber. The feed valve was wide open, and the safety shutoff was disabled.
"Affirmative."
"Then hide your force presence and wait for my signal,"
Luke ordered.
"We might learn something just by watching them."
Ben slipped into his own hiding place, the footwell of an equipment console on the upper tier directly across from his father. He quickly drew his force presence inward, shrinking it down until even he could not sense it, then felt the floor reverberate as the heavy hatch fell into the room. 2 seconds later, the door charge detonated, but there were no muffled screams to suggest that anyone had been near the entrance when the fuse activated. Whoever they were, Rondi's killers had obviously learned their lesson when they opened Roland's cell and tripped the first mine. The blast of the door charge was still vibrating through the floor when Ben felt the lighter pounding of running feet. He guessed that maybe 7 or 8 intruders had entered, but there was no way to be certain. He waited 5 long breaths for them to pass his hiding place, then peered out toward the hatchway.